Welcome to Breakfast with Bob, Challenge Penticton Edition. We are at the Hooded Merganser. This is a Canadian multi-sport national championships. We're at beautiful Lake Okanagan, the site of the 2017 ITU World Championships, six world championships over 10 days. Our guest, the two-time champion here, Mr. Jeff Simons. Jeff, how you doing?
I'm doing awesome. I mean, this is great to be in my hometown getting ready to race.
Going for a little hat trick.
Yeah, I'd love to get that third title. I mean, yes.
So, talk a little bit about my favorite sport, which is steeplechase. Going back, because you didn't get into this until what, you were 20 years old or so?
No, and I started out steeplechase, and this is where it all began, and started running track and field here in Penticton. And
So you grew up here. This is your hometown. You are the mayor of Penticton.
Not the mayor yet, but maybe one day that would be pretty cool. I've grown up here since I was about 4 or 5 years old.
Yeah.
So just kind of grown up, you know, watching Ironman and running track and field, and then how can you not get into it?
So, in terms of steeple, I always say that the steeple folks are the toughest people in the world. What is it about that event that's so brutal?
I think it's just the danger element of it, maybe.
Yes.
Just like, you know, that you could crash at any moment,
you
right?
You can crash and burn at any time.
And it could be hard, and I think it's just that, you know, people almost want to see you crash. They want to see you flirting with that disaster.
Well, we go by the pit, right? We go by the pit and we want to watch the water jump and watch you guys go down and have somebody jump and leave little spike marks on you. That's what it's all about.
Preferably we all go down and it's just massive
at one time.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it just makes you, just that danger just makes you tough, right? It just makes you ready for whatever the day throws at you.
Is that something you draw on when you're out racing? I mean, obviously, those are shorter events, but there's something about the pain threshold that you gain from steeple that you don't gain in other sports.
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, by the time you hit that last lap of the steeple, or especially on that last straightaway, like, any fast twitch muscles you have are just completely fried out, and you're just kind of just grinding away. There's rarely a kick, but you still got to get over that last barrier.
Yeah.
And I think that really translates to Ironman, where, you know, you're just grinding away. Like, it's just that you're not picking the pace up. You're just not slowing down. And I think it's the same kind of hurt in a way.
So we're in Penticton, your hometown. What is it about this place that's so special?
We could do a whole episode just on that. I mean, but it's the people. It's just when you've had a race here for, you know, over 30 years of this magnitude, I think it's at 35 now, we've had a, you know, world-class event. It just becomes instilled in the culture. You know, we've had people that have been drawn to here from the race, or people that have just been kind of born out of it, like myself. And you just develop this deep passion for the sport, deep passion for helping athletes and helping athletes get to the finish line.
So next year, this is sort of a dress rehearsal. We got four events over 5 days. Next year, six world championships over 10 days. How important is that for this area of the world?
It's huge. I mean, there's been a bit of a lull since it went from Ironman to Challenge. And
yes.
I think, you know, you look at this is the great way to kind of build it back up and get it to bounce back. And, you know, it's just a great way for us to show the world that, you know, our passion for the sport and our amazing swimming, cycling, and running routes around here. So it's
going
to be awesome.
So you get into the sport in 2010. What got you into it?
I guess I started out, the way it worked was I was doing steeplechase.
Yes.
And it's a 9-minute event. And whenever I'd ask tell people this in Penticton, they'd always ask me, like, oh, are you going to do Ironman?
Because you're in Penticton.
Yeah, and I'd say, well, that's a nine-minute event. That's like a nine-hour event, like, on a good day. And I'd say, and it's got swimming and biking. And they'd always look at me, and they'd always be like, just not tough enough.
Ooh.
And it just, like, dug into me. And finally, I was like, you know what? I'm going to go up and do the Apple Triathlon, another long-running triathlon, an hour up the road in Kelowna. And I was like, I'm going to show these people that triathlon's not as tough and as bad as they make it out to be. And so I did that first triathlon, and it was, like, as tough and as awesome as everyone made it out to be. And I was hooked. From that moment, I was hooked. And what happened was the next week, Ironman Canada was on. It was 2005. And so in 2005, Simon Lessing came to Penticton.
The greatest in the world.
The greatest in the world. And he had a lot of hype behind him. And it was like, in Simon's, he was good on the run. Everyone's like, he's going to crush it on the run. And so what happened that day is Simon had a lead on out of the swim. And a young, unknown at the time, Chris Lieto, he outrode him and he passed him. And Simon, instead of waiting for the run, he kind of went with him a bit. And so they got to the run. And actually, Simon passed him at one point. And,
yes.
And I was out there on the course. I was volunteering as the lead bike for the third place male.
Yeah.
So I got to see this all unfold. And you got to see this guy, Simon Lessing, who was the best in the world.
Five-time world champion.
Had all this fanfare.
Yeah, yeah.
And then this guy that was an unknown to us just came out and...
crunched him.
Kicked his butt.
Yeah.
And there was something about that, and it was like, you know, I've grown up watching the Rocky movies, you know, it's been, they've been my favorite, I even named a dog Rocky Balboa, and you know, and there was something about that idea that, like, in Ironman, on any given day, like, everybody, you know, 3,000 athletes have a chance to beat the best in the world, and it was like, and I was watching this, I was stoked on triathlon, and I just, at that point, I knew, like, you know, this is what I want to do. I want to have those moments where, you know, I'm the unknown that beats the best in the world.
The destiny, right?
It is, it is.
So when I look at some great events for you, when you took third at the 70.3 Worlds, that was huge, right? You were you first Canadian to do that?
Oh yeah, it was unexpected and awesome. It was, you know, that year I'd been, Ironman Canada was obviously on, two weeks before that, and I was working at the bike shop, and it's hard not to get caught up in the excitement of this race in Penticton.
Yeah.
And I got carried away, I was working way too many hours, I was down at the expo, I was out on the race cheering, I had a girlfriend at the time that was doing in the event, so I was out cheering her and really excited about that. Circus rolls town and I was totally burnt out. And I remember I was like, I had to miss a few days of training and I thought, you know, that's it. What's the point in going to Worlds? And I remember I wrote out this list of like reasons to go. And it was like,
really?
I had some good reasons that were like experience and all this. And you know, the only bad reason that I had was like,
not ready.
I don't want to suck. So, so I thought that wasn't good. So I'll go down there and give it my best. And, so I went down to Vegas and I just executed my race and it was just one of those things where, you know, I started out a bit slower on the bike and just kept moving my way up and next thing you know I'm on the run and you're moving into third place and it felt surreal and it wasn't until I hit that finish line that it really clicked in and it
I was third.
Made
I'm
it
on
all
the
happen.
Podium at 70.3 Worlds.
Absolutely, and it's one of those things, that's the cool thing about our sport is that like on any given day it's kind of like Chris Lieto beating Simon Lessing.
You
it's
were
like
Rocky.
Anything could happen. I was Rocky on that day, but you know, I've been Clubber Langer. I've been Apollo Creed on other days. So, but that's what keeps me coming back is that I always want to be Rocky. I always want to be you know, striving for the next thing, striving for the higher peak and upsetting people. So I'd almost like that better than being like a legend. I'd rather just be.
You sort of want to sneak up on people rather than people. You know, you're the favorite, right? Being the favorite is tough.
Exactly. I'd rather people look back and say, I don't know how the heck he won those races. It was ugly, but somehow he got
so
it
where
done.
So where did Get Ugly come from?
Well, if you've ever seen my running style, it's pretty apparent.
I don't
but,
know. I saw you running last year in Kona. Your running looked good compared to everybody else. You were flying.
Well, what happens when I get tired? I guess I think I'm running great. Like, I think I look just perfect.
You're Joaquim Cruz.
But yeah, exactly. But it all just goes. And, like, my arms go, my head go. And when we were in university, that saying kind of came up. Somebody had, like, yelled it at a race once. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's kind of me. And and I just kind of stuck with it. And... yeah, the more I reinforce it, it's the more I run, the more I reinforce it. And it's kind of cool because it's not just how I run, it's also how I like to live my life. Like, I like to wear my heart on my sleeve. I like to be passionate and you know, do whatever it takes to get to the finish line or do whatever it takes to make good things happen.
So I was reading somewhere you also had another nickname, Diamond. What the heck is that?
That's a bit more ironic. That just... Diamonds happens to rhyme with my last name, and when I was in Vegas, they didn't know, they didn't really know how to pronounce my name. They kept saying Simmons, and you know, my grandfather would have been pretty upset. So my friends called him Rhymes with Diamonds. And
okay.
If you know me, I'm pretty low key, and
you don't care.
I'm not really a Diamonds kind of guy.
I was gonna say, so the other, you won here for the first time in 2013, I think. So when you win here, how important was that to you? This is your hometown. Winning your hometown's got to be amazing.
Oh, it was everything. It was incredible. Like, that was bar none the best day of my life. Where you know, we had Chris McCormick was here.
Yes.
Vaca, he was bringing the hype. And you know, this is my second Ironman, and it was like the race that I'd seen and I dreamed of competing in for so long, and then this was my chance. And to have it, to not only win, but to have it in such dramatic. I've got a bit of a flair for the dramatic. I'd rather have just smooth sailing races, but it seems like for me it's always points of adversity that I'm overcoming.
So what happened that day?
So what happened that day is I came in prepared. I had a lead on the bike. It was pretty good, and I was coming down from Yellow Lake. It's about 150 kilometers into the bike, and I'm thinking, yeah, like,
I'm right here, baby.
This is good. My dreams are coming true here, right? Now, and that point, you know, I was set
Cinderella story, former greenskeeper.
That's exactly it. And I'm like, this is good. This is Caddyshack moment for me here. And I thought, okay, as long as I don't blow it on the run, like I've got, as long as I'm feeling good and I have an overbike. So I was tucked into my aero bars. This is this point where you're going so fast that it's beyond pedaling.
Yeah.
And I just sit up and I shake my legs a bit, and it starts this speed wobble.
Oh,
and the bike
no.
starts to wobble, and I'm so narrow that I can't control this thing. And my life didn't flash before my eyes. The only thing I flashed before my eyes was like, I'm going fast. I'm going really fast. This is going to be really bad.
60K.
60.6K an hour is what. Beautiful that we have data in Garmin's these days to let us know.
Yeah,
so 60.6K an hour, I hit the deck, and I'm lying on the ground. And at the time, I thought my day was done.
Of course.
And because I was in a world of a hurt. But I got back up, and I looked at the bike. And I went to the bike thinking, well, I'm not a quitter, but if the bike's broken,
if the bike's a quitter, I'm
then
done.
Yeah, exactly. The bike can quit. So, but the bike looked all right. You know, the handlebars were shaved down. The pedal was shaved down. The frame
still
was
functional.
Frame was actually cracked, but I couldn't see that. So
yeah.
Got back on it, and I kind of thought, you know what? There's no reason for me not to. So I got to go. And I started going, and I started thinking about growing up here and all the people that I'd seen do this race.
Yeah.
And like over the years, and like just the passion
the
they
greats.
Put into it.
The, not all just the legends.
Well, the legends, but also just age groupers. And it's almost the age groupers that I knew more because I could see day to day what they put into it and how they're working their jobs, but they're still, we're at the spin classes. They're getting up early for the swimming and just how much they put into it and how much it meant to them to get to that finish line. And I think as kids in Penticton, you know, that's the message and that's the values that we get out of this race. It's not, we want to win, we want to do this. It's just like, we want to do our best and get to the finish line. And so for me, it was like, I want to honor that passion. And so I got back on the bike and I'm starting to think like about Rocky, you know, it ain't about how hard you hit, it's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. And it was just epic. And
247 marathon.
247 marathon at the end. So
that'll
so
do
it went pretty well, and it was one of those, it was just one step at a time. And you know, a lot of people ask me, well, if you hadn't crashed, would you have been able to run even faster? And I think, well, maybe not, because Ironman's all about like how can your motivation overcome the amount of pain you're in. And I feel like the conviction that I needed to get back out there on the run and get back out there on the bike after this crash, my conviction was high. I was like, I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to get this done no matter what. And so even though I was in a lot more pain, my tolerance for that, I think, was just that much more. So it probably helped me out in the long run.
So the following year, I think you were second Ironman Canada. And then was it 2-3 weeks later? 3 weeks later. You ran 2:40 here and win this race for a second year in a row.
Yeah, it was a quick turnaround, and the 2:40 happened in Whistler, and then it was a bit more, but I remember coming into that one, and it had a little bit of a hamstring injury, so I'm a little bit nervous about how it's going.
Two marathons in a couple of weeks, basically.
Yeah, it was a lot, and it was, but I mean, I do have the local advantage, and you know, it was like, I think more than the physical, it was the mental toll, and I had so many great people out there cheering me on and kind of giving me that boost. And so I was always able to just kind of ride the high of those to the next one. So
last year, first year in Kona?
First year in Kona, yep.
First year in Kona, you're about 30K, I think, or so away from the finish line of the bike, doing great. All of a sudden, Mr. Pedal and Crank decide, hey, I think it'd be better if Jeff pedals with one leg for a while. I think he did, two legs is a little bit of an advantage for him. What happened?
Yeah, it was just an unfortunate, it wasn't, a mechanical or a human error, you know. Shimano makes great parts, but we're all susceptible to mistakes putting them on. Unfortunately, the crank fell apart. And then I went from pedaling like normally.
Yes.
To pedaling like this.
Oh.
And you can't
you're
do that.
You're on a hand cycle.
You can't do that. So I had to unclip and pedal with one leg. Same thing I thought. I thought, you know what? Like, there's so many people in this race. It means a lot to them. I'm going to get it done. And the other thing I thought was, you know, the learning's not done. And I think that's one thing for everybody to remember is that, like, you got to keep pushing because there's always more you can learn and you can always become, you know, a better, stronger version of yourself. But if you stop, if you say, oh, well, this is my lesson, you know, check my bolts twice, that's it.
Yeah.
You know, you miss out on those opportunities. And so whether it's life getting tough, races getting tough, you know, you got to push through because there's just more to come.
So. You're 34th out of the swim, 60 people pass you on the bike. I'm assuming most of them in the last 30K. And you get off, was there a point where you thought, I don't even know if I want to run?
Yeah, there definitely was. And you know, when I came off the bike, you know, my heart just felt empty. And it was like, I'd kind of on the bike, when you don't see people, you're thinking, oh, this won't be so bad. But when you got there and you just realize, you know, your dreams of a great finish have been crushed and you're trying to figure it out. And you feel like almost like a bit of a failure, right? Like you feel like, you've let people down, or that, you know, that you didn't have this great race for them. And the beauty of that was I had a great group of guys that were there to support me and cheer me on. And they referred to themselves as the entourage. I sound too egomaniac to say that, but
they were your entourage.
But they
no
were
question.
There, and I mean, there's one of them over here, Darren. And you know, but they were there for me, and they were out on the bike course, and they were cheering me on, and I could just see it in their faces that that. It didn't matter that I wasn't winning the race. What they wanted to see was they wanted to see me get ugly and just push as hard as I can and track these people and just annihilate myself out on that run course. And so they yelled at me. My one friend, Sean Astin from the Goonies, was in the race.
Yes, he was.
And so my one friend yelled out, "Goonies never say die." And that was kind of what got me going.
Is that one of your favorite
like,
movies?
Yeah, I was, growing up, it was a big movie as a kid. And yeah, it really kind of was like, reconfirmed in my head, I'm getting this thing done, right? And it was cool. And it's cool to see that. And you kind of lose track of just how much your support means to you when you're out in the
what's
race.
What's interesting is you had the third fastest run of the day, ran 2:50.15. And it's one thing here to be, you know, to have a crash and come back from that. It's another thing when you're talking the World Series or you're talking the Stanley Cup. You've got the best guys in the world in front of you and you're running by all these guys up to 23rd place. Were you sort of pinching yourself running along going, I'm feeling pretty darn good here?
I don't know if you ever feel good in the marathon of an Ironman, but I think relatively. And it was more just, I don't think I felt good. I just said, I'm feeling pretty darn tough here. And I was like, you know, I'm going to show that I'm about more than just a good finish. You know, that that my approach to this racing and kind of where my passion comes from is about pushing hard and hard work. And that's, if you're in last place or you're in first place, it doesn't matter. You know, it's the hard work, it still has to be there.
So on Sunday, we're a little shorter distances, right? We're talking a 3K swim, 120K bike, and then a 30K run. Do you like those distances?
Yeah, I think they'll be good. I mean, for me, it's just, I'm just so excited to race. And it's like, whatever that is, you put it in front of me, I'm going to do it, right? And so 30K, 120, or 3K, doesn't matter, man. I'm going for it, and I'm getting ugly. And it's going to be a good one.
What would it mean to you to win here for the third time in your hometown?
It would be incredibly special. I mean, for me, the big races or the most important races for me are the ones where you've overcome a lot of adversity. And this year has been a...
Yes.
It's been a tough one.
You broke your arm.
Yeah,
was that in Texas?
I was down in Texas, and it'd been a bit of an up and down. It's one of those, sometimes your builds go really well into a race.
Yes.
You know, everything goes smoothly and you ride fit. Well, this one, it wasn't going smoothly, but, you know, I work hard, stuck to my guns, and I was showing up fit, and everything was clicking. And about 2 weeks out from the race, right when you're starting to think taper, I was checking out the run course and just slipped on some wet, sandy.
Oh, so you did it on the run?
It was on. I was biking, but I was on the run course.
Oh, okay. I'm
and
okay.
It was like you hear senior citizens fall. It was probably a kilometer and a half per hour.
Are you making fun of me being a senior citizen?
Like I'm saying I'm one of the same. I'm going to be there soon enough.
Double ARP, baby.
But yeah, it just fractured the radial head and a second grade ligament tear.
Oh.
Luckily, the guys at Sterling Ridge medical orthopedic clinic down there, I'd given a talk the day before, so they really helped me out and took care of me and got me the great diagnosis. But I thought I could do the race, and it just didn't happen.
And so the rest of your season then, because you've got to, you know, you had to qualify to get to Kona and qualify to get to 70.3 Worlds. So this now is the A race.
This is the A race. Yeah, it was unfortunate. You I had to miss some races, and I guess you find out the people that, you know,
stand by you no matter what.
It's
good to find that out when you're young.
And,
yeah.
And so this is my A race, and it's kind of cool that, you know, those people that stood by me no matter what and probably would stand by me forever, right?
Exactly.
You know, they're going to be here watching, and they're going to be here cheering me on, and, you know, those are the people I'll be thinking about when I'm out getting ugly. So
I love it.
So this is it. Qualify for the Worlds next year, and
be back here in Penticton next year.
And absolutely, and I mean, there's nothing that I like to do more than to whip the best in the world in my hometown.
I love it.
Jeff, thank you so much for always being so upbeat and such a great role model for sure a lot of the Canadian kids here who are finding out about triathlon because of you.
Well, thanks. No, and I want to make a point of that. It's just, you know, being a triathlete in Penticton, I really feel like I'm kind of the torchbearer.
You're
now,
the ambassador.
You know? The Tom Evanses and the Ollie Pickens and the Jonathan Carons, they gave me the torch, and I'm carrying it. And, you know, we've got some kids that I'm coaching out in TriPower. There's one kid, Keegan Ingram. He's going to be way better than I ever am. So it's pretty cool that it's the legacy of Penticton is going to be strong, and we're going to be a triathlon I want to say powerhouse, but it's more just like, you know, just the heart and triathlon heart and soul of Canada for decades and years to come. So,
you know, there's some pros who, you know, as soon as their racing days at the top level are over, that they'll be gone. And then there's certain guys who, you know, are lifers and are going to be in this sport forever because they love the sport. And I'm guessing you're the latter.
Oh, yeah, I love it. And it's, you know, every day is a dream. I mean, you know, if I wasn't blessed with being fast, I would be doing the same thing. I'd be an age grouper and I'd be putting all my money into the sport. So it's cool.
Love it.
One last thing. I just want to give a shout out to Mike Brown. He hosts this race.
What a great job is he doing?
Oh, it's amazing. And I mean, when I was saying about the Kona Entourage, he was one of those guys that, you know, he was out there on the bike yelling, "Get ugly." And it's just cool for him to breathe the life into it. And, you know, he's so passionate about the sport, and it shows in this race.
Well, what I love is, obviously, when Ironman left here, they had rebuilt. And now you've got 6 world championships in 10 days, all of them ITU sanctioned, and all of them ITU world championships. That's huge for the city of Penticton and huge for Canada.
That's how we roll. I mean, we get knocked down, but we come back bigger and better and stronger.
I love it. Jeff Simons has been our guest. Again, we are at Challenge Penticton. We're at the Hooded Merganser. My name is Bob Babbitt. Hold on, everyone. We will be right back.